see his glorious forest there. They also dwell never happy, then rejoice and pass a day in sun. All the song of the saints in his kingdom, praising God for his triumph of sin. God and love before him they are praying, as they into his praise eternally. Hope to sing with his song of praise. Keep his word ever loyal and fearless, and your footstep firmly to his grace. Send them a sing the holy city, ponder on return on the rest. If I alone in service, I may enter in the peace of praise. All the joy for myself through his mercy, all the city of God's shining bright. Sun, the city I'll see brightly gleaming, and the saints in the grace of the Lord. If you hope for a grace in this kingdom, hope to sing with his song of praise. Keep his forever loyal and fearless, and your footsteps ready to his grace. Humble I march and will not tarry, fearless is triumph over death. Ever does me praise. Soon I'll stand on the bright glorious shore. Hear me, dear, dear, the songs of delight. Stand on the bright glorious shore. Hear me, dear, dear, the songs of delight. Every night I'm on a praise in the kingdom, hope to sing with songs of praise. To his grace.
Be seated. Okay. For this prayer session, I just continue the topic about Hear, O Israel, as a mutual encouragement so we can pray and we can know what is our God. Because in a couple of days later, we are going home and to practice what we have learned during the NYTS. And some of the brothers or sisters may just wondering, how can we live? When we go back to the reality, how can we face the reality? Not returning back the normal or returning to the old way. We want to change ourselves, but we need strength. We needed to prepare our mentality, mindset, so we will become strong enough and to face a reality, and further we can become a soldier of the gospel and a soldier of the Lord, and we will fight the good fight. So, as you know, we all have a promise from the Lord Jesus. Just like Israel, they all have a promise of the Lord, a promised land. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. When Israel, they are about to enter the promised land, Moses gives them an introduction about the land. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 9. Someone read for me. Olivia, can you read? Verse 7 to 9.
Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into
Thank you. This is to say, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Ah, this is a good land. They're longing for so long, so many years, wandering in the wilderness. Now they are about to go in to possess it. And this is a good land. The land actually with flowing milk and honey and with all of the provision of God. Turn to chapter 11. There's more introduction about this land. Chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12. Hey, continue this next. Okay, so this land actually is the land of hills and valleys and the drink water of the rain of the heaven. And this land, which is the Lord your God care for. So God care about the land and provide them all they need for their living. This is a promised land, a good land. And now they are going to possess this land. Now to us, what is the meaning for? What is the promise then? As we understand our hope is in heaven. We are going to receive the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God also in the church. The kingdom of God is also in our heart. The kingdom of God is in heaven. In Revelation, we learn, this MITS, we learn the Revelation, right? So in Revelation chapter 21, there's a kingdom. Describe a kingdom of God. Revelation 21, let's turn to 21. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. Same. Can you read loudly?
And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and it shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God."
4.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Amen. So here it says the tabernacle of God is with man, which represent the true church. God will dwell with us. And in this place, there God will be our God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sorrow. This is how wonderful. So this is in the church, the spiritual church, the body of Christ. In this place, no more sorrow, because God will be with us. And God is joyful, God is love. When God with us, is with us, we have no worry about. No, we don't have to worry anything, because he is the source, he is the resource of the joy. And also, in verse 10 and 11, let's jump to verse 10 and 11. Joseph. Turn to 27. Yeah. Jump to 27.
That even pure will ever enter
here describe a city, a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, now on the earth, which is TJ Shia. And in this place, for their name was written in the Lamb's of Book of Life. Now, many of us, we already have this, our name written in the Book of Life. Make sure our name is still there. It's important. Then we can possess this heavenly kingdom. And the heavenly kingdom also indicated our future hope, right? Just like Paul, he experienced how good the heaven is. It's indescribable. So that's why in Ephesians chapter 1, 23, if he have choice, Paul, he doesn't know which one to choose, because if he can go to heaven with Jesus, say he's so great, so wonderful. So this is our hope. We know there's a place waiting for us. God give us this promise. And before Israel, they can really enter the promised land to possess this promise, there's one great and tall enemy waiting for them. They have to conquer and be triumphant over them. Otherwise, they cannot possess this promise, even though this, which is so good. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. So this is why Moses remind the Israelites here, O Israel. Chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. Where else? Loudly.
Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven. 2. A people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard it said. Who can stand before the descendants of Anak? 3. Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down.
Okay, thank you. Here describe a people great and tall. And it's a giant. And this people, actually, about 40 years ago, 10 of 12 spies, they are so afraid of. But now, after wandering in the wilderness, they got trained. They are going to face this enemy again. And in Numbers chapter 13, describe how great, how big the enemy is. So in Numbers 13, you can read by yourself. This is the story of the 12 spies. So this enemy is great and tall. And what does this mean to us? Which actually prefigure about our fresh lust. Before we can really enter the kingdom of God, to receive the possession, the promise, we have to conquer. We have to overcome our flesh lust desires. Because everyone we know, the greatest enemy is not other. It's inside of every one of us, our heart. We have a flesh, and we have flesh lust, evil desires. The human nature. The enemy is so great and so tall. And how can we overcome it? You know, in Galatians chapter 5, describe all the lust. It's manifest so obviously. People can understand envy, anger, pride, all the dirty things start. So in Galatians chapter 5, we read many times already. This is the the enemy. We have to overcome it. And Jesus, he described in Mark chapter 7, those desires can come out from our mouth because everything comes out from our heart. So we must be very careful about what we think. Anything can pollute our heart. We must be careful. Try to overcome it. And because just like the Deuteronomy in verse 2 say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Who can stand before this great and tall enemy? If we review, if we go back to the history of Israelites, many great saints, actually they fall. They cannot stand before this enemy. For example, Moses, the man of God, he fell because of anger, because he cannot endure all the noise of the Israelite people complain. So that's why Moses, he suffered, he lost, and ended up he cannot go into the promised land. And he just can view it, but he cannot really to possess it. Moses. And just like David, we know David, a great king, a king long after the heart of God. In his whole life, he made a great mistake, sin against God, and he paid the price. And in his whole life, he just left a very black spark. Everybody talking about David. We're talking about his mistake. Why? Because he cannot stand before this great and tall enemy. Lust, evil desires. David, how sad. And look back to the Samson, the almighty man. His birth actually was appointed, prophesied, and it's God's will to lead the Israelite people. But he also fell before his lust. And go back to the New Testament, you see the disciples, one of the 12 apostles, Judah. He followed Jesus for 3 years. He witnessed a lot of miracles and heard on sight to see miracles, heard what Jesus preached. He had the first-hand information and the message directly out of the mouth of Jesus. But still, he fell because greedy, because he loved money more than Jesus. So how can we stand before this great and tall enemy? We must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Paul, he emphasized again and again in his letters, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Ian, please read loudly. Thank you. Brethren, this verse we have to consider very seriously. Read it very careful. If you live after the flesh, you should die. Just like God talked to the Adam and Eve. If you eat the fruit of the tree of the good and evil, you should die. Period. You should die. On the other hand, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you should live. So just turn around. If we follow God's way, then we just live. If we can overcome it, we will live. Also, period. So how can we live after the Spirit? we needed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's why every time, every seminar, we spend maybe right now, one day, we may pray for 2 hours a day and try to help us really can pray in the Spirit. Then we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit, can overcome our desires. So we can stand before the great and tall enemy. I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome it. Every one of us will become the great workers of the Lord. Because yesterday and today, I heard many of the brothers and sisters try to lead a sermon. All are very good, actually. We're equipped. Some brother yesterday present just like a preacher. Very arrogant to deliver a service. Message is very clear. So powerful. Why? Because prayer. Because we read Bible. We learn the truth. So we can deliver the message of God to the audience to give us the enlightened. Then we can see this is the way of God. We are equipped. We must keep ourselves. Continue on this path through prayer in the Spirit. Then we will become the great worker for the Lord. So that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26, he said he disciplined himself. Discipline. So in our life, we have to discipline. Don't just go after our fresh desire. We have to overcome it. Because Paul wants to make sure he can receive the reward. And then what does the law your God require of you? After we go back to our normal life, what is the important thing? The Bible tells us. Actually, the answer, some brothers just ask, how can I overcome it? How can I change it, become a different people, and I have a new life? What is the matter? Now, the answer is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Sister. Is Eric? To fear the Lord your God. First, to fear the Lord your God. How? This is the concept. I know I have to fear God. Because God is almighty. God is in heaven. He is watching over me. We have to. But we need to do something. How can I fear God? It's important. It's actually in Job, chapter 1, verse 1. It's turn away from evil. Because in the book of Job, when Bible describes about fear God, always come out with turn away from evil. Because God is the holy God. Right? God detests all the dirty things. So all of the evil we have must turn away. Don't try. Don't let ourselves enter that temptation. So turn away. Escape. It's the best idea. Okay, so fear God is turn away from the evil thing. And then to walk in all his ways. To walk in all his ways. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. What does it mean in our life? Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. Jessica, Rebecca, sorry, loudly. Okay, thank you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So this gives us an idea. We have to be careful about our friends. Don't follow your friends. Because we heard a testimony from sisters. And this morning, Pastor also explained to us the influence of the good friend or bad friend, right? So walk in all his ways. Turn away from all of the bad friends. Try to be friend of those who pray in spirit, seeking for the Lord. So be careful whom we will hang out with. Those friends will decide our direction. Be careful. And then to love him. What does the Lord your God require of you? To love the Lord God. How to do it? In 1 John chapter 4, 20 and 21, we are all familiar with this verse, right? Love his brother whom he has seen, because God is in heaven, invisible. And how can we love God? Love our brother and sister whom we can see in the church, in our family. So turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Let's have a brother to read it. Daniel, can you read? Yes. Okay. So the message here is very clear. Verse 20, he said, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who loved not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So love God is easier to say, but actually we have to practice in our life, in our family first. So love our brothers and sisters, either in the church or in the family. This is the first thing, love God. And then number four, to serve the Lord Jesus. To serve the Lord your God. Serve the church actually is serving God. So we all know God gives us the two major things to complete, right? Take care of the sheep of Lord, and also to preach the gospel. So to serve actually is very simple. Somebody may wonder if the church doesn't assign me to do something, how can I do it? But to serve Lord, actually, we don't need the church to assign us. Very simple. If we know someone is weak, we just call them. We take care of them. And we try to visit them, to comfort them, bring them back to the church. This is the work. We don't need anybody to assign us to do it. We preach to our friend, share what we have learned in the church, in NYTS. We don't need anyone to assign us to do that. We can do it by ourselves. So to serve the Lord actually is very simple. Just share what we have. Just have a compassionate heart to care of those who are not found in the church. Maybe brothers and sisters whom you know has been disappeared from the church many times or many, many weeks. Try to call them. Give them a phone call to share and to concern about their things. This is easy to serve. And then final, to keep the commandment of the Lord. To keep, we cannot emphasize enough how important to keep God's commandment. Okay? So what should we do? Simple here. Fear the Lord. Walk in his way. We love him, love our brother and sister. We serve the Lord Jesus, our God, through serving our brother and sister. One love one another, and we keep his commandment. Whatever we think, we do, we must bear in mind What I am doing, is it against the commandment? So may God bless us. So everyone of us can hear the message. Really keep in mind, pray in the spirit. So we are coming forward to pray. And we pray, Lord Jesus, give us the strength, so we can really keep his commandment and we can love him even more. Let's pray together.